Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Samach, and we'll start from the Mishnah, which is the first wide line, about 7-8 lines from the top of the Amud. So to the Mishnah. Vayiftach odom lechotzer hashutfim Pesach keneged Pesach v'chaloin keneged chaloin. If you happen to own a house in a common courtyard together with other Pnei Chotzer, therefore by definition there are other houses. When you are building your house or when you're renovating your house, make sure that your door is not directly opposite the door of someone on the other side of the street or the other side of the chotzer. And the same thing, make sure that your chaloinos, your windows, are not directly opposite the windows of the person opposite you. What's the reason for that? We will see shortly in the Gemara. The reason is because of tznius, that one should not be able to see what's going on at the other person's home, and he shouldn't be able to see what's going on into your home. Now, we've had, of course, the concept of Hezekriah already a number of times, already at the beginning of the Masechta. But there, typically, we were talking about chotzer, right? You had two shutfim that owned a chotzer together, and now they decided that they want to go and split it up. Going back to the very first Mishnah in the Masechta, Hashutfim Shirotzu Lasses Machitza B'chotzer, Boynes HaKoyfel B'emtza. They wanted to go and make a machitza in the chotzer. Why did they want to make a machitza? And so we had, whatever reason, it's not enough just to go and put little misippis, little markers, but rather, Boynes HaKoyfel B'emtza, you got to go and build a wall. And you remember the Gemara said on the Amud Beis, the reason why you got to build a wall is because of Hezekriah. So that's all very fine. But Hezekriah in those situations means a person is in his chotzer and from time to time he wants to do things which are, you know, kind of private. Here, however, we're talking about home. Home, everything that you do, if you will, you want privacy. And therefore, this is much more of a concern than the Hezekriah that we were talking about in our Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. Therefore, if you're opening up a door to your house or a chaloin, it should not face the other person directly. And similarly, hayakotin, what happens if until now you had a Pesach and now you're renovating your house? Well, yasenu gadol, don't expand it and make it into a large door or a larger window. And we'll see in the Gemara shortly what the reason is. And similarly, echad lo yasenu shnayim, if you until now only had one Pesach or one chaloin, don't make two. Avol, all of this applies to two Bnei Chotzer, one facing the other, one bias opposite the other bias. Avol, welcome Brother Shai, we're on Daf Samach Omer Aleph, third wide line on the Amud. Al Paseach L'Rishus Rabban, however, if your house and the door is facing L'Rishus Rabban, not a Chotzer, not a Movoi, goes facing L'Rishus Rabban, then Pesach keneged Pesach, chaloin keneged chaloin, no problem. Even though the other person on the other side of the Rishus Rabban, right, you have two houses on the two sides of, for instance, of Broadway or of West End Avenue, so there's a Rishus Rabban in between. David, we're on Daf Samach Omer Aleph, third wide line in the Mishnah. So if you're talking about that your doorway opens the Rishus Rabban, so even though it's Pesach keneged Pesach, it directly faces somebody else's door on the other side. Or chaloin keneged chaloin, no problem. And we'll see in the Gemara why is there a difference between bias keneged bias in a chotzer and bias keneged bias in Rishus Rabban. We'll see shortly. Finally, says the Mishnah again, we're talking about when you're opening up your house or your door to Rishus Rabban, if until now the Pesach was small, you can expand it. If you only had one Pesach, you can make two Pesachim. Okay, all of this will be explained in the Gemara. Zokti Gemara. First we focus on the first Halacha and the Mishnah. Don't be Pesach, Pesach keneged Pesach, Chaloin keneged Chaloin. Minoani Miliam, Rabbi Yochanan, Yom HaKrot, says in the Pasuk. Pasuk in Parashas Bolak. Yisabilim es inav vayar es Yisrael shoychem lishvotov. he saw Klal Yisrael being shoychein, that they were residing with Shvatav among the different Shvatim. And Rishbam adds, the Gemara leaves out, that in the Pasuk following that, it talks about that when he, Bilam, saw this, he said the Pasuk that we say every morning in davening, Matoivo Elecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisecha Yisrael. What was so Matoivo Elecha Yaakov that he was so Nispoel? Ma Ro'o, what did he see? Ro'o She'ein Pischei Oholeim Chuvanim Zelazeh. He saw that the Pischei Oholim were not one against the other. In other words, they're not opposite each other. And therefore he saw that the Oilim was very makpit on Tznius, that I shouldn't be able to open my door when my neighbor opens his or her door and look straight inside and see what's going on. And same thing, Chaloyim Keneged Chaloyim. And therefore, Omar Ru'uyin Halalo, Shetishra Aleim Shechina. That's the Lashon of Yisrael Shoichin Lishvatov, that because Klal Yisrael is so makbid on other people's privacy, this is such a tremendous accomplishment, such a midah toiva, that they're ro'uy, that the Shechina, Kadosh Baruch Hu, should be shoyr Shechina in their midst and in their homes. And the Rishbam adds that the word toivu itself is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mikor HaToiv. So Matoiv Alech Yaakov, that the Bilam is saying, that Klal Yisrael, you are Zoicha, that the toivu is in your oihel. The toiv, meaning the Shechina, is in your oihel, and Shechina should continue to live and reside in our midst. So that's why you got to be makbid about Pesach and Eged Pesach. And now we continue. The Mishnah says, "Vayter, hoyekotnu yasenu gadol." If you had a doorway until now which was small and narrow, don't expand it. Now the Mishnah doesn't tell us why. So v'ramim b'chom lemeimah bar dalid lo l'shavya bar tamanya the koshokel tamanya b'chotzer. So what Rami Bar Chama is alluding to is back on Daf Yud Aleph at the beginning of our Masechta. It says that when a person owns a house in a chotzer, and if there are multiple homes in the chotzer, how do you go and split up the chotzer? So the Gemara says initially what you do is every person who has a Pesach, you have four amois keneged ha-Pesach. Even if the Pesach is, for instance, only two amis wide, you get the benefit of a portion of the chotzer dedicated to you, to your house, which is four amis wide. Why? Because the average Pesach was considered to be four amis. Not that the size of the door was four amis. What he means is that it was essential that people have room in the chotzer right in front of their homes, to be able to go and park their animals, their bicycles, their tanur vikirayim, other things that they stored there. So they did that right in front of the chotzer, of their in the chotzer, right in front of their Pesach. Now they couldn't go and spread out all the things over the entire chotzer, because other people also have rights. So everybody has at a minimum four amis in front of every Pesach that they have. And this four amis is four amis wide, in other words, like the width of the house, and four amis deep, goes into the chatzah. Okay, now, what happens, says our Gemara, says our Mishnah, if the Pesach was cotton, don't make it gadol, don't expand it. So Rav Macham assumed that means if you started off with a bar dalit, that you have until now a Pesach of four amis, lo l'shavya bar tamanya, you should not go and expand it from four to eight. Why? Because shokel tamanya b'chotzer. Because as a result, what's going to happen is you have the right to take a full eight amos width in front of those doors, in front of that doorway, and therefore you're doing, if you will, a bit of a land grab. A larger portion of the chotzer will now belong to you, and you're not allowed to do that. Avo, but if you're starting with a bar tarti, if it was only two amos wide, l'shavi bar arba, if you want to now expand it to make it four, shaper dummy. Why? Because it makes no difference whether the original Pesach was one, two, three, or four. In all cases, you automatically get a 4x4 piece of land in the chatzer for your private individual use, that part which is right in front of your door. So even if it was only two, you still get a minimum of four. However, what happens if you had eight lemarshal, then you get eight. And if you had six, you get six. So therefore, Rambam assumed that when it says in the Mishnah, when you started off with cotton, that it was four, lo yasenu gadol, because I'm concerned about that he's going to do a land grab, because he's now going to get more chelik of the chotzer than he had until now. However, if until now it was cotton, it was two, and he wants expanded to four, no problem, because when you have an passageway, an opening of two, you get four amas. If you have a passageway, a door of four amas, you also get four amas. So by expanding his Pesach from two to four, he is not grabbing any additional land rights in the property in the chutz. So, therefore, we're narrowly going to define Hayakotn Yasena Godoil, that we're only talking about if it was four or less, that he should not make it more than four, for instance, don't make it eight, because you're going to grab more land. But if it was only two, then you're allowed to make it Godoil. Omli Rava, Rava says, Rami Barchoma, I respectfully disagree. Motzi Omale, the Pischa Zutra Metzina Litzanuya Minach, the Pischa Rabbele Metzina Itzanuya Minach. What is Rava saying? Rava is saying to Rami Barchoma, you're looking at the Pshat and the Mishnah with very narrow glasses. You're assuming that the concern is only about grabbing a larger portion of the chatzar for yourself, and that's why there's a difference between expanding from four to eight, or expanding from two to four. But that's not the real concern, says Rava. The real concern of the Mishnah is, again, the inyan of tznius, of retaining a person's privacy, just like the beginning of the Mishnah that we just concluded with Bilam, Matoiv Elecha Yaakov. So what's the concern? Explains Rava, Motzi Amalei, until now there was a Pischa Zutra, for instance, two Amis. Two Amis, Matzin Letznuyim Minach. After all, that's a very, very narrow opening. So I was able to go and quote-unquote hide from you. Anytime I would go and do something, I would make sure that you would not be able to look in, even if you opened up your door nice and wide, because your door is only two amas wide. So I only had to move a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left at an angle from your doorway, and you wouldn't be able to see what I'm doing. I'm a chayav. But now that you've expanded it to four, then I have to do all types of tricks to be able to go and hide myself from you. And that's the reason why Kotlan Yasena got, not because of the land grab concern, but rather the concern about tznius. And therefore it makes no difference if you're going from two to four, or you're going from four to eight. And now the Gemara largely repeats itself, at least in terms of the concepts. We learned in the Mishnah Echol Yasenu Shnayim, if you had until now only one doorway into the house, don't make two doorways. And again, Tzavarom Rechom Lameim, you know why? Because Bar Arboy Loy Leshavye Trey, B'nei Tarti Dekashokul, Tamni B'chotze. What does that mean? Tzavarom Rechom Lameim, Bar Arboy, if until now you only had one doorway of four, and instead of constructing a totally separate doorway, you know, to the right or to the left or from a different room or whatever, don't take your four, l'leshavya, trei, b'nei, tarti, tarti. Don't split the four into two separate doorways of two each. Why can't you go and split up the four into two each? Like the Gemara says again before, again, Rami Bar Chama l'shitasai, that he says we're considered about land grabs. So if you're taking your four and you're dividing it up into two times two, the kashokel tamni b'chotzer. Now you're going to have entitlement to eight. Because as we said before, no matter how narrow your passageway is, your door from the house into the chotzer, if it's anything up to four, whether or not the passage is only two amas, or three amas, or three and a half amas, and all the way up to four amas, then you automatically get four amas in the chatzar. Ah, so now I know, says Rami Bachama, why the person would take his four and split it up into two doors of two each. Because each one of the two would entitle you to four amos. So therefore, instead of only having four amos in the chatzar, in front of the doorway, I'll now have eight amos in the chatzar in front of the doorway. Four for the two amma doorway, four for the other two amma doorway. No, two times four will give me eight. Av bar tamli, what happens if you started off with eight? L'shav yebnei arboi shabritami. Then if you want to split it up into two different psachim of four and four, then there's nothing wrong. Because when you started off with eight, you were entitled to eight amois in the chatzer. And now that you have two times four, you're also entitled to eight amois in the chatzer. So nothing ventured, nothing gained, nothing lost. It's exactly the same. No problem. And again, Rava says, L'shitosa, Amalei Rava, you, Rami Bar Chama, only thinking in terms of real estate, of grabbing land. No. Matzi Amalei. The concern is a tznius concern. The other person who's living across from the chotzer, opposite, will say, "Bechad pischa metzina itznu yiminach." As long as you only had one door, that was fine. Because whenever you closed that door, I knew, oh, now I get a break for the next hour or two, and I can do some midi detznius, and I don't have to worry that you are observing me because you closed the door. Betrei la metzina itznu yiminach. You know why? Because you could keep one door closed 24 hours a day, and you'd leave the other door open 24, or 10 hours, or 5 hours, or whatever. So I never get a break, even though you've closed one door. Until now you only had one door. You closed it, we're done. But now that you have two doors, you may decide to go and close one and leave the other one open. And therefore, I cannot hide from you. Once again, therefore, it makes no difference whether we started off with a four with Pesach that was split into two twos, or whether we started off with an eight and we split it up into two fours. In all cases, says Rava, the concern is not just land grab, but it's also a concern of tznius. Finally, the end of the Mishnah, we said that was talking about two houses in a chatzar. But what happens if it's two houses on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah? Pesach and Pesach, not a problem. The Amalei, you know why? Because he says soif soif, but it's nuyim ibnei Rosh Hashanah. Memelo, when you're talking about two neighbors facing each other in on two sides of a chatzer, each one of the neighbors knows more or less when the other person is home, when he's coming home, when he's leaving home. Remember, we had in the beginning of this parik Ches Sabbatim, how can you establish 3 years of continuous use of a property with two Adam? Can they see you in the house 24 hours a day? And remember, we said it soon, but B'Shivavi, we're talking about the Shechem. Shechem know when the occupants of an apartment, of a house, when they're coming and going, because after a short while, they see the husband gets up every morning at 5 o'clock, and he goes to shul 2 hours before davening to learn and to say tillim, etc. Maybe go to the mikveh, whatever. And then he's there in davening, and after the davening he stays for the daf shir, and he comes home at 9 o'clock. Oh, and then at 9:30 he quickly runs to the office, or he runs to shul, to the koilil, or wherever, to yeshiva, wherever he has to go. Then he comes home at night at 6 o'clock. Oh, he's coming home from a long day, and he's going to be home for an hour or two to eat dinner, and then after that he's going to go out again for Maariv, and so on and so forth. So you know more or less what your shochin's schedule is like. So therefore, you'll always be careful when you open and close your door to make sure that nobody's around at that time. But that's only when you're talking about two shechenim and chotzer. If you're talking about Rosh Hasharabim, you know, especially if you live in New York, it's the city that never sleeps. You always have traffic, whether it's foot traffic or people in cars, or in the times of Chazal, on the back of horses, camels, donkeys, etc. So regardless of how many Psachim I make, and whether it's Pesach Keneged Pesach, or Chaloyin Keneged Chaloyin, Mister, that's not your real concern. Your real concern is about all those hundreds, if not thousands, of people passing by all the time, passing by your door and your Chaloyin, and for that you're going to have to put up shutters, and you're going to have to go and put up all types of shades and window treatment. Not because of me, but because of the thousands of other people. That's why there's no problem, Pesach keneged Pesach, or Chaloyim keneged Chaloyim. On to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Ein oisin chol tachlis shusarabim, por yishichanim aris. We had this Gemara already before, at the end of Leyachpar, back in Daf Chav Zayin. What does it say? Ein oisin chol tachlis shusarabim. What happens if somebody wants to go and dig a hole under shusarabim? What is he going to use that hole for? He's going to use it for bor yishichanim aris, various different types of cisterns. And he's going to be very, very careful. He's going to put on top of it a manhole cover so that anybody and everybody can continue walking or traveling or riding on the backs of horses or whatever, and they'll go over that cholol. Says the Mishnah, don't do it. Ein oisin cholol. Even with the best manhole cover, don't do it. Rabbi Lezer Mater, Rabbi Lezer said, no, you can. Kadesh Tehei Agola Mehalechas Tu'un Avonim. As long as you've made over this bor shiachum ara a very, very sturdy manhole cover. And how do you test it out? You test it by, as soon as you installed it the first time, take an agola, a wagon, fill that wagon from top to bottom with heavy stones, so you have a heavy load of twice a half a ton of bricks, let it go over the manhole cover and see what happens. If it sinks, then you know it's no good. But if you see it stays sturdy, then no problem. And therefore a blessed matter. Blessed says it's fine. As long as you make it sturdy, you can go and dig that hole under the shusram for the Baruch Shechumar. Now, presumably we're not talking about over here somebody stealing from the shusrabim. Presumably he's getting the authority or he's paying the B'nai shusrabim. Maybe he's paying the local municipality to go and dig out this cholol for purposes of Baruch Shechumar. However, our Mishnah tells us, I don't care whether you pay for it or not. That's not my concern. My concern is that you're going to make a public disaster area. Because any time and every time that people are going to go over that cholol, chas v'shalom, it could be dangerous. Reb Lezer says, I'm not worried about it as long as you put on a sturdy manhole cover. No concern. Nu halach. Ein moitzin zizin gu destroyed of shisram. We had this halach already as well before. If you have zizin gezustroys, both of these are things which are protruding from your house. A ziz is a little bit thinner, it's more like a ledge. Gezustroys is more like a beam. Rishbam says about 8 lines from the bottom, zizin are koidois ktanois, small little beams sticking out. In other words, like small pieces of wood, shtekalach. Gezustroys are koidois gedoilois, habotus menabayis lechot. So what's the problem with it? The problem is, if you have on your walls, you have these ledges and you have these protrusions which are sticking out into shusarabim, people that are, depending of course how high or how low, if they're very low, it can knock over a person's hat, or chas v'shalom, a person can bang into it and get a terrible headache or concussion or worse. Or even if it happens to be higher up, what about all those people that are traveling on the backs of camels? Oh, back from the floor to the top of the rider on the camel, that might be, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 feet tall. And therefore, if you have these protrusions sticking out, the person doesn't notice it, boom, it can go right into him or right into the camel and cause danger, could cause damage. So therefore, don't do it. Ein moitzin zizgus roi b'nirushusra. Ela imrotza, what we can do is, koinis tutoi shalo yu moitzin. In other words, what happens if you bought a property which is right next to the shusarabim on Broadway, and assume that there is no sidewalk, so you go directly from the street into the house. So if you have zizin exostroys, which are sticking out, they're going to go and hit people in the shusarabim. So you know what you can do? Since your property is right next to the shusarabim, if you want, you can go and have your property built, well, not your property, your building built, receded from the line, from the front, so that you have, if you will, a front lawn before you get to the building. And in fact, there are towns and places where you have all types of zoning regulations which require that your house be receded a little bit and don't go all the way to the Rishus HaRabim line, But they are koinis. Koinis means, again, they are receded or indented or whatever language you like. You built them, let's say, 10 feet from the Rishus Rambam, 20 feet. So once you're doing that, you can be koinis tzoy might say, and then you can have zizin uxustrois sticking out from your property because it's on your land. And if you're wondering, so what's the chidush? Well, as you recall, we've had in the past that very often, if there's heavy duty traffic in Rishus Rabbim, then people will tend to go beyond Rishus Rabbim and they'll walk on the person's lawn. And therefore, even though this is private property, the assumption is that people are moichel, or they don't have a choice. They bought a property next to Rishus Rabbim. These things will happen, that 16 amos wide is just not enough. It's going to be a heavy day, and you need 20 or 25 amos wide. So people and horses and camels and donkeys are going to be traveling onto the private property right next to the Rishus Rabbim. What happens then if someone gets hurt from the zizin uxustrois? The answer is, that's not your problem. Since you built it on your property, somebody wants to walk on your property, okay, gzintait, but that's at his or her own risk. So therefore, ein moitzim shesuram, elim rotzel, what he can do, koinus toshaloi, if it's so important to him to have these ledges sticking out, what he can do is, koinus, move the property back 10 or 20 feet, whatever, from the shesuram, umoitzim, then he can have these zizin uxustrois sticking out. If you're wondering to yourself, what does a person need zizin uxustrois? So we've already said in the past, within the last few days, people used to hang things from those zizin, and therefore this is very convenient for the homeowner. If he came home and it had been raining, presumably he could hang his umbrella there, or even if it's not raining, he could hang his backpack over there, or whatever people would normally put on those zizin uxustrois. Lok a chotzer, what happens if a person bought a chotzer or a house in a chotzer, and that house already had ubog zizuk destroys? In other words, he bought it, it's a used house, it's not a brand new house, the house has been there for 20 years, and it already had pre-existing zizuk destroys. Harizubukaskosa, you can take it the way it is, and you do not need to remove those zizin and destroys. What's the reason why? So Rishbam says a couple of reasons. Number one, it's very possible that the first person who built this building with the zizin uxustrois, he did it because he was koinis l'tosh shalai. He moved the property back. And therefore, even though today the Rishus Rabbim has now reached his house over the years, but nevertheless, when he built it, it was koinis l'tosh shalai, so that's permissible. Or, says Rishbam, it could be that in the good old days, 20 years ago, there was a much smaller number of people locally, and he was able to go and work out a deal with them. He gave everybody $5 or $100 or whatever it was. And they agreed to a deal. And as a result of agreeing to a deal, that's the reason why they allowed him to have the Moitzi Zizkus Royce into Rishus Rabbim. Okay, to be continued in the Gemara. Zokti Mara.
What's the finish that he can move into his own property? Of course he can move into his own property. Why shouldn't he be able to?
The chiddush is, since it was common practice that people used to walk on the side properties, Mara refers to that sometimes as tzidei Rishus Rabbim, which are beyond the Rishus Rabbim itself, which are on private property. People are allowed to walk on that property. It's a meitzer shechziku barabim. Everybody's allowed to walk there. So I would think, even though I'm technically building it on my property, but I know what's going to happen. A week after I finish building the property, there's going to be a fair in town, or the president is going to visit, and then you're going to have multitudes of people on the streets to see what's going on, and there won't be enough room on the street. They're all going to be on my property, standing there, and I can't go and throw them all out. And they might be hit by zizik destroys. Kamash Malon, I'm not worried about that, because as long as you did it beheter on your property, if other people are walking there, then they're putting themselves into danger. They have no business trespassing on your grounds. And even if they are allowed to trespass, but lamais, it's not Rishus Rabbim, it's your grounds. If you want to come on my grounds, be careful where you go so you shouldn't get hurt.
Okay.
Zokti Mar, we started off about you want to dig a schol tach Rishus Rabbim Tanakama says, no, ain't oisin. Reb Elazar says, just make sure the manhole cover is strong and firm. So why don't the Rabbanan agree to Reb Elazar, make sure that the cover is strong and firm? Rabbanan says, in the ma'afchis v'lava daite, because maybe 5 years from now, or 20 years from now, maybe the underpinnings to this manhole cover will be weakened and undermined. Rishbam says, perhaps by teiloim, by all different types of worms or other rodents that are traveling, you know, subterraneously, and therefore slowly but surely they're eating away at the rim of either the manhole cover itself or the earth where you place the cover, so that one day, 20 years from now, somebody's going to walk over that manhole cover and boom, the thing is going to collapse down into the bar and someone, chas v'sholem, will get damaged. So therefore, don't do it. You can't expect the local authorities to go and inspect these manhole covers on a daily basis. They're only going to, if they inspect at all, it'll be once a year or twice a year, whatever. And in between, it may have weakened to the point that it could become dangerous. Right, a might sing zizigur destroys. Zukti mar hitzt. Reb Ami havalei zizidav enofik lemavua. Reb Ami had a house where his house was adjacent to the Mavoi, and in fact, some Zizan Existrois went and protruded from his house into the Mavoi. Vahu Gavra, and there was another unnamed individual, Nami Havale Ziza, but not that was sticking out into a Mavoi, but to have a Mapik Rusharam was sticking out in Rusharabim. And we learned in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to be Moitzi Zizan Existrois with Rusharabim. In a private Mavoi, it's okay, because all the people living in the Mavoi know that there are Zizim there, and they will avoid it. The problem only is, in the Rosh Hashanah, people, you're not allowed to do that. It can cause a public danger. So, Reb Ami had a Ziz going out to the Mavoi, which is permissible. Ahu Gavra had a Ziz going out to the Rosh Hashanah, which is not permissible. The people complained, the police took him in front of Reb Ami. In other words, Reb Ami was the judge, the dayan. Also, the comment about me in Amalei, Zilkoitz, you got to cut off those protruding zizim. You're not allowed to have those. Our Mishnah said it's dangerous. Amalei, so the Hahu Gavra said to Rabami, Rabami, Vamar Nami Islay, go and look at your own house and you'll see how many zizim are protruding from your house. You have to now add Amalei. So Rabami answered, Mister, there's a fundamental difference. Didi, the Mavua Mapik. B'nei Mavua, Machlin Gaboi. All the B'nei Mavui. How many B'nei Mavui are there? 5, 10, 20. I know them all. And they're Moichel. In other words, they know there's Zizim there. And they agreed. Maybe I paid them off. Maybe I didn't. But they've all authorized me and nobody complains. And it's fine. I have those Zizim. However, Didoch, yours goes to Shisarabim Mapik. Man Mochel Gaboch. Who's going to be Moichel? After all, Shisarabim, you have hundreds, if not thousands of people. And they're not always the same people, because you have a lot of tourists and you have a lot of visitors, etc. So, how can you ask every single passerby that ever passes by over the next 25 years, oh, are you moichel me if I have my ziz there? That's, of course, impossible. So therefore, you have to cut the ziz down. And now we have a similar story. Rabbi Yanai Havalei Ilan HaNoitel Shisarabim. He had an Ilan, a tree, that went from his property over into Shisarabim. And you'll remember we had earlier on our Masechta, a Mishnah that said, you're going to have to cut off some of the branches, because if someone is riding on the back of a gomel, it might damage the person that's riding, or be dangerous for the gomel. So he had such an ilan. This is Rabbi Yana. He had an ilan noitur shesuram. And, Havahu Gavra de Havalei Nami ilan noitur shesuram. Somebody else had the same position, situation, of an ilan noitur shesuram. Also, B'nai Rishu Sarabim have become Akvi Lavei. So the B'nai Rishu Sarabim complained bitterly to this Hahu Gavra, and they were Moche, they made public protests and demonstrations. You gotta get your tree out of here, because it's a public danger for all those people trying to travel here. So now this Hahu Gavra thought that he was in the right, and these others were in the wrong. Also, come to Rabbi Yanai, he came from Rabbi Yanai. Now, why did he come from Rabbi Yanai? Because in Rabbi Yanai also an Ilan HaNoitur Shesuram. So he figured, Rabbi Yanai is going to side with me. Omalei, when Rabbi Yanai heard what the case was all about, Rabbi Yanai said to the parties, Zilla in the machar. You know what? Today the docket is full. Come back tomorrow for the next session. Balayla, that night, Rabbi Yanai Shodar, he sent Shluchim, Katilahu Didei. They cut down his tree, or at least the offending branches that were extending in Shusaralim. They were all cut down that night. Fine. Lamokh the next day, that Hahu Gavra comes in front of Rabbi Yanai. And he said, no, you thought about it overnight. What's the halacha? Amalei said, Rabbi Yanai, zil koitz. You got to cut down either the whole tree or at least the offending branches. Get it out of here because it's disturbing the Rishus Rabban people. Amalei, so Gavra said, Hamar nami islei. I have a picture of your own property and you have a tree that's doing the exact same thing. So, you know, what does it say? People live in glass houses, shouldn't throw stones. You have the same type of situation. Why are you telling me to go and cut? Go and cut your own tree. Say, Amaleis, he said, Zilchazi, do me a favor. Go back to my property. And look, Ikoitzdidi, if you find that my tree has been cut down, Koitzdidach, then you got to go and cut down your tree. Iloikoitzdidi, if mine is still standing, Loitokitzat, then you don't have to go and cut down yours either. And obviously the person went to Rabbi Yanai's property, and he saw that it was cut, and he knew now, I got to cut down my tree as well. So Freiti Mara, but let me understand, Meikara Maisava, Lubsaif Maisava, what does Rabbi Yanai hold? I mean, after all, Rabbi Yanai was a great Talmud Chacham. He knows what it says in the Mishnah, he knows what it says in the Gemara. Why did he have his tree going over the border into the Rishus Rabim and causing a public disturbance or a public a potential disaster area? Nobody ever complained to him. He's had this tree, Rabbi Yanai, 25 years. Not one murmur, not one email, not one fax, not one phone call. Nobody ever said anything. And he assumed that the reason is because people enjoy when they are going through the Rishus Rabim. It might be a hot day, so there should be a little shade, a little shadow, be able to sit down and get his energy, his koiches back together. And in fact, people are happy. Nichole, they're happy to go and sit under the shade of that tree. However, Kim de Chaza, to come Akfi, since he saw that the virtually identical tree of this Haugavra, that the Bnei Rishus Rabim were complaining, then he realized that people are probably upset about his tree as well, meaning Rabbi Yanai's tree. So why didn't they go and complain to Rabbi Yanai? Rabbi Yanai was known as a Grace Gadol, so they didn't want to start up with him. They didn't want to give him a hard time. Rishbam says, "Mishvil kvoidoi shoisken al shulai," because of his great kavod. He's one of the tower geniuses, Torah scholars of the generation. Because of that, nobody said anything. But now that he sees that, in fact, people are complaining about the other tree, he realizes that his tree is also damaging to people, and people who also don't want the tree. The only reason why they didn't complain is because that's the COVID. Once he realized that, Shodar Katsya, that's why he sent the Shliach to go and cut down the tree. Why did he have to go and overnight have somebody cut it before he made the pronouncement to that Hahu Gavra the next day? He could have told the Hahu Gavra, you cut down yours and I'll cut down mine. Why did he have to make sure to cut his first? Means to remove the straw. You have straw that is bothering you and straw that's bothering others. Go first remove your straw and then remove the other guy's straw. See here too, first adorn yourself and then go and adorn others. You have to be the example, the moral compass for everybody else. Don't have the others do it first and then you got to do it first. That's why Rabbi Yanai cut down his tree first. I once heard from my mashgiach, Rav Volbe Zichron Levracha, famous with his chibur, the Ali Shor. He was one of the top mashgichim years ago in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so he once said that there's another pshat in Kshoit Atzmacha, V'yakach Kshoit Acherim, word Kshoit, Utsa means truth. Gemara says kushta ka'amar. And you also have in the Brich Shemei the Mari Alma that we say when they take out the Sefer Torah, Tiraisa Kshoit, and something else a few times, two, three times, Kshoit, Kshoit. Kshoit means emes. And what he said was, if you want to try to convince somebody else, if you are debating with someone or trying to educate someone, and you want to teach him and tell him and convince him of the truth of a particular statement, it's got to be truthful to you. If you yourselves are kind of vacillating means you're shaky, you don't know if it's 100% true, you think it's true, you'll never be able to convince somebody else that it's true because you yourself don't believe 100%. So it's got to be k'shoyin atzmacha. First, you have to establish for yourself that this is emes v'yatzev v'nochem v'kayim v'yosha. Then you can try to attempt to convince somebody else that of its truth once you are convinced. But if you're not convinced, you won't be able to convince anyone else. Okay, back to the Gemara. If you want to, when you build your building initially, go and have it receded from the line between your property and the Rishus HaRabim, and then you can be moitzi the zizim. What happens? You took the advice of our Mishnah, and you were kindness. You, in fact, built it not next to the Rishus HaRabim, but 20 feet away. But when you did it, you didn't bother or you forgot to add the zizim. A month later, or a year later, you say, you know what? I was foolish. Since I'm allowed to, based on our mission, to add the zizim, because I was konas, let me put the zizim up now, so I'll be able to hang things from those zizim. Are you allowed to do that? Can you, subsequently, konas v'loy hoitzi, initially when he built it, he was not moitzi zizim. Can he change his mind and add the zizim v'yoitzi? Even though he was konas, he could be moitzi subsequently. Once you were kindness and you were not moitzi the first time, and a moitzi cannot be moitzi later on. In other words, you waived your rights. You should have put up your zizim immediately. If you didn't, you're stuck. Now that's the first version of the machlekes. Rabbi Yankov said to Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Tachlifa, Azbaloch, I'll explain to you that lahoitzi kuliyam aloi pligit, amoitzi. That in our case that we were talking about until now, that you decided initially not to be moitzi the zizim, and then you decided subsequently to moitzi the zizim, everybody agrees that you have not waived your rights. Since you were koinis betarch shalcha, you can add the zizim years later. That's not a problem. So where is the machlokes? That initially when you built your house, it was receded 10 feet, 20 feet away from the Rishus HaRabim. And then 10 years later, you decided the house is fragile or it's old-fashioned, and you decide to build a brand new house. So you demolish the old house and you're building a new one. And now you want to have more space in your house, and you want to move the house now closer to the border with Rishus HaRabim. You don't want it to be receded anymore. You want it to be up front. You don't need your front lawn. Is this permissible? So, Gemara the Ipcha, keep legal lahachzik solam koyman. Lahachzik solam koyman means to go and be machzir atorah liyoshna, in a sense, that to put the solam back where they could have been, should have been, would have been, next to the boundary of the Rishus HaRabim. The Ipcha Itmar, and in fact we have, the Machloikis is in reverse. Not that we said in the first Lashon Rabbi Yochanan said, years later he can be moitzi, and Rish Lakish said, no, year later he cannot be moitzi, but rather, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Einay Machzir, once you built it, receded, you're stuck, you cannot move your house forward any longer. Rish Lakish Omar Machzir, you can. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Einay Machzir, Mishun Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda? The Omar Rabbi Yehuda, famous Chazal, we quoted it earlier in the Mishnah when we were talking to Brother Shai, and that's the Omer of Yehuda, Meitzit Shechzika by Rabim, once you have a border, it's lav dafka border, what he really means is a path, Shechzika by Rabim, also the Kalkoi, the reason why the Gemara uses the term Meitzar is because people tended not to walk smack in the middle of somebody else's field, particularly during the winter months when everything was plowed and planted and all the rest, but they would walk on the Meitzar, on the boundary in between, where it was dry, or at least relatively dry. So Meitzar Chazika by Rambam, if it was a path that Rabbim got accustomed to use, also like the Kalkala, you now let it go and take it away from the Rabbim. So here too, since he originally built his house receded from the border of the Rishus HaRabim, and since it was common for the people in Rishus HaRabim, when there was a heavy traffic day, to move to the sides, to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, onto people's private property, so this became now a Meitzar Chazika by Rabbim. What's a Meitzar Chazika by Rabbim? Too late, you can't take the property back. Also the Kalkala. Rish Lakish Amar Machzir, you can. Aye, what did Rish Lakish do with Rav Yehuda? Meitzar Chazika by Rabbim. Hani Milech Lelech Ravcha. That's when, that's the only path in town, so to speak. It's a shortcut, and this shortcut has been used now for years and years by people. You're not going to take that shortcut away. But here, it's not a shortcut. It's the path right next to Rishus HaRabim. Even if I abolish that path by building my home right next to Rishus HaRabim, guess what? You still got 16 amos, Rabbi Yisai. You're not closed at home. You're not stuck. It's not as if, oy, 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 now I'm going to have to go all the way around the world to get there because I don't have this shortcut. It's not a shortcut. It's a meitzah right next to the big Rishus HaRabim. There's plenty of Ravcha. Ha-chaik Ravcha, and even Rav Yehuda would agree that under those circumstances, you can take back your own property and you don't have to leave that meitzah, Sheikh Zikur Baram. Okay, so do you want to write this? Sheikh Nemishtah. Loka chotzer ubaz hizikus destroys, hari hi becheskosim. You bought a chotzer. There were already pre-existing zizigus and strois sticking out of one or more buildings. You can leave it there. You don't have to cut it down. Amar Rav Huna, nafla. What happens if the building eventually fell in? Choyzer ubayna isa. You can go and rebuild the building with the zizim. So not only when you bought it initially, it had the zizim, you can leave it there. Even if the building eventually is demolished, it collapses, you can go and put up the zizim just like they were initially. Ah, so Rav Huna is telling us that although you're not allowed to be moitzi zizim l'shus Rabim, once there are zizim and you bought it that way, and therefore we assume that the original house was done beheter, if this house falls in, you don't have to worry about the zizim. You can keep the minhag the way it was until now and continue to be moitzi zizim. Frank Dimora, Meisvei, let me ask you a question. Ein Mesaiden ve'ein Mekairin ve'ein Mefaichin bezman hazeh. Here we're talking about a person who is buying a house. He's not allowed to put on plaster, not allowed to put on kior. Kior is ornamental designs. Ve'ein Mefaichin, those are more of painting pictures or portraits on the walls. You can't do these things bezman hazeh. The reason why you can't do bezman hazeh, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, this is all Zeicha L'Charbin, because we have the Charbin Beis HaMikdash, you have to live modestly, and therefore don't make too many designs, too many portraits, too many pictures, etc.
But putting lime on, that doesn't seem like anything.
Well, you'll see in a moment. You'll see we're not done. Loka Chotzer Misuyedes Mechuyeres Mefuyeches. What happens if you bought a Chotzer where the houses or one house already had the Sid, already the Kior and the Piuch? Even though you're not allowed to do it, if it's already there, you can leave it. You don't have to demolish it. You don't have to remove it. But if the building falls in, don't go and rebuild it with the siyud and the kiyur and the vayich. If it was there, but to rebuild, the shanisht. So, Frank Timur, don't we have a kashan Ravuna? Ravuna said when you buy a house that has zizik destroys, hari becheskasa, and if it falls in, says Rav Huna, the chazak is so strong, you can rebuild it with the zizik ustrois. Here, if you go and buy a chotzer with a house, misiyeres, mechiyeres, mechiyeches, harizu b'ches kasa, but if it falls down, ein chotzer b'oinoisa. So, isn't that a strong kasha on Rav Huna? Evni mori surishani. There's a major difference. Our case that we're talking about mominus. What's mominus? Well, there will be a hezek harabim, there won't be a hezek harabim, that somebody might get hurt, the gomel might get hurt, the person, the driver, the person back of the gomel. Here we're talking about isurim. What isur we're talking about? The isur of continuing to have beautiful homes, post Chorim Beis HaMikdash, where people should live modestly without the Siddur, without the Kir, and without the Fiuch. And if you did that, even though the house fell in and it had it there before, don't put it up again. It's an Isser, you know. It's an Isser D'oraisa, but it's Isser D'rabbanan. Don't do it. Because of that, from here to the end of the Perek, we are now going to talk about Minhogim and Isurim that were instituted post Charban HaMikdash. Tanaban says in the Braisa, Lo Yosad Adam as Beis Besid. Person should not go and put plaster on his home. Vim Ireg by Choyl Oy Teven Mutter. However, if you put in Choyl or Teven, then it's okay. What difference does it make if you make Choyl or Teven? This gets back to Brother Shai's question a moment ago. Because when you put on pure Sid, pure plaster, it's really nice and white and beautiful. And therefore, you're competing for the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is never destroyed. However, if you put in Choyl or Teven, says Rishbam, Mechahei Livnunoi, the white will turn to an off-white. Off-white, that's already okay. Ri Oymer, it's probably Rabbi Yehuda, disagrees, and he says, no, it depends. Ir Bechol Harizet Traxid, the Osir. Teven is Mutter. If you put in Choyl, while I agree with you, Choyl makes it to be more off-white than white. On the other hand, by adding the Choyl to the Sid, it strengthens it, it becomes a Binyan Chazak V'toiv. And that trumps, or that supersedes, the concern about the being white or off-white, because we don't want permanent buildings. Now, after Charban Beis HaMikdash, we want soon all to move to Yerushalayim, and you don't want to make such a permanent building. So, Choyl is awesome. However, Teven, which does not strengthen the Sid, and it causes it to be off-white, that is already Mutter. Tanuban, Kishchor Beis Abayis Bishniya, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Robo Prushim Yisrael, there were a lot of people that became Prushim, Prushim meaning they were Poirish from Hanois Oilem Hazeh. And that is, Shloi Lechel Basar, Shloi Lishtis Yayin. They stopped eating flesh, basar, meat, and they stopped drinking wine. What was the reason why? Nitbalehen Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yeshua started talking to them, and Omalehen, Bonai, Mepnei Ma'iyatam Oichlen Basar Ve'inatam Shoisim Yayin. Why did you stop eating meat and stop drinking wine? Amrloi, Noichel Basar Shemimenu Makrim Nalgabim Mizbeach. Remember, until a few years ago, they used to bring hundreds and thousands of kabbonis constantly on the Mizbeach, all basar. The achshav, bottle, all of that becomes bottle. If the Rabbeinu Shlom Kavi Yochel is not eating meat, how can I go and eat meat? Nishta yayin shemen esnaschan al gabi mizbeach, we should go and drink wine? Until recently we had nisach hayayin every day when they brought kabbonis. The achshav, bottle, now it's bottle, we should drink wine. As Omelhem to Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Im kein lechem lo yinoichal. If that's the case, you should stop eating bread. Don't eat challah. Don't eat matzah. Shekvar botlu menachos, because there's no longer menachos, which are made, of course, out of flour. So, just like you can't eat karb mincha anymore, so don't eat any more bread. So they said, you know what, Rabbi Shu, have a good point. Efshim bepeiros. Instead, we can continue eating peiros. We will now avoid not only eating meat and drinking wine. We're no longer going to wash. We're only going to eat peiros. I know Parry's thinking to himself, well, it should only be a problem with wheat and not with barley. Of course, but naturally we do have kabbonis made out of barley, and that's naturally the carbon oimer and chas shalom and isha soita. So even though throughout the year it was wheat, but at times it was also barley. So therefore, we won't eat any more barley bread, we won't eat more any wheat bread, because we can eat peiros. So Rabbi Shua said, you can't eat peiros either. Peiros loinoichal shekvar batlu bikurim. After all, you bring bikurim from peiros. So, since there's no bikurim, don't eat any peiros. So they said, after peiros achayrim. After all, you only bring bikurim from the Shiva Saminim. So you're right. We're no longer going to eat grapes, and we're no longer going to eat the pomegranates and dates and all that. But you know what we will eat? We'll eat apples and oranges. That's what we will subsist on. So said Reb Yeshua, okay, maim lo nishta. But you shouldn't be able to drink any water. Why? Shekvar batal nisach hamayim. After all, throughout Sukkot, every year we had nisach hamayim. There's no longer nisach hamayim. Don't drink water. Shosku. At this point, they had no answer. They didn't know what to say. You Prushim, if you're going to insist on not having hanoah from anything that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, they used water in the Beis HaMikdash. So don't have hanoah from water. Of course, that's impossible. Shosku. Omlem. So now said Rabbi Shua, Bonai. Shloi misabel kol yikir yefshir. To go and say not to misabel at all, don't be noeg any mina gavelis, I can't tell you that. Shekvar gozra gzeira. Because shekvar nigzra gzeira. But the chacham already got together and they said, no, we have to be misabel. The reason why we have to be misabel, we have a pasuk. For those of you that have the Torah or HaSholem, Rashbam here quotes the second part of the pasuk. It's the final pasuk here on the Omid, pasuk Hey. The first part of the pasuk we're going to have later on. Ikar is the second part. Sisu isam itam masois kol hamisabel aleha. Everybody that is misabel now will eventually have the right and the option of eventually being part of the simcha. Now we are all crying, and now we're all ba'avelis over the charbon. If you're going to do that, nigzra gzeira to be misabel, if you will, you'll be zoicha to the sisu ita masais. Continues the gemara. So therefore says Rabbi Shua, shloim misabel kalikar, that's impossible, kvar nigzra gzeira. Lisabel yoisu midai yafshir, to go and have too much avelis, to say, no bread, and no meat, and no wine, etc. You can't go and expect people to go and do these types of actions, because impossible. You know, you can't ask all the people, don't eat meat and don't drink wine and don't eat bread, and you know, you gotta do something. You can't expect that the whole folk should go and do these types of chumras. Instead, what the Chum said is, we'll give you certain guidelines and certain particularities, particular rules and regulations. So number one, Sod Odomis Besi Besid, Umeshayi Boy Dovra Muat. Even though we said before, Ein Mesayidim, can't expect people not to go and put plaster or lime on their buildings. They have to. So a person can be Sod Besid, Umeshayi Boy Dovra Muat, but you have to leave out at least Dovra Muat, but Kama, how much is that? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Amma al amma. And you have many people, even ad hayoy mazeh, who are noyig, especially people in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. You come into their homes, and you'll see facing them on the front wall, you have over there an amma al amma, where it was not sod besid, which is still, you know, barren, and without any paint over it, without any plaster over it, you can see the boards underneath that amma al amma. And if you remember, not too long ago, when we were talking about being zocha b'nechsi hager, since there is no one to be makne, if you went and wanted to be koina a house that belonged to ger, if you wanted to be koina land, we said that's easy. No god of paretz koshu, it's going to go and do rafik baruf, rafik baporta. He went to with a house. What are you going to do with a house? So we said in the Gemara, all you have to do is a little bit of siur or kior keneged ha-pesach as you come in. Amal ama, that's already enough. Says our Gemara, that's the essential for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. To remember the Chorban, that as soon as you walk in, instead of seeing something beautiful, beautiful molding, beautiful paintings, you see that it's barren amal amma. That's the way to remember the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. If you have a rented apartment, rented house, to my knowledge, this does not apply because it doesn't belong to you. Anyway, Halacha L'Maisa speak to you. By the way, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, these halachas. Halacha L'Maisa speak to competent Orthodox rabbis. Continuing on, Amar of Chizda, can I get a Pesach? So we said Amal Amar, can I get a Pesach? Fine. Next, Oysa Adam Kol Tzarchei Suda. A person can go and cook and bake and all types of different foods, wine and meat included. One thing you should leave behind. Mahi, what you should leave behind? Amar of Papa, Kasa Deharsana. What's a Kasa Deharsana? So Rishbam explains that was some sort of fish meal. If you look, it's about 3-4 lines lower in the Rishbam than where we are in the Gemara. About 12 lines from the bottom. Kasad Harsana, Karish Machal Dogim, Mitugonim, Bishamnon, Besoilis. A very fancy, schmancy type of fish meal that was, Mitugonim, was fried in Shemen together with soilis, together with some sort of flour, all mixed up and all mixed together and all the rest. And this is a real delicacy at that time. Therefore, that's the type of thing that he said, no more kasad harsana. Ois isha kol tachshitel, mishiyer is dava muat. Women can go and do all the tachshitim. And remember, tachshitim often in the Gemara means all different types of perfumes and makeup and cosmetics, as opposed to what we think of tachshita, which means jewelry. Umashir is davar, but she should leave over something. Mahi, what is that? Something. Omer Rav, bas tzedah. What's bas tzedah? Says Rishbam. Temple, shirigilo is lost chum, ulahashir saran. That hashir, that if they had here on the temple, they used to go and remove that here, that you shouldn't remove it anymore. Leave it as a zeichel harb. Now, I don't know too many women that have that concern or that do that type of thing. So in fact, in the art school, they bring another pshat of this bas sidor. In mine, it's number 35. Ulam ayin oruch hamaz b'shenoa go'anoshim wa'ashirois lo'niach min boisim al tzedoi roisham v'lisrik esaron b'derech mesiyamis. They used to go and put some special type of boisim, some special perfume, on the sides of their hair, and they would go and comb the hair b'derech mesiyamis in a very special way. So, ever since the Chor Bez Migdash, we no longer comb the hair in that particular direction, in that form. So it's a different shot in the Bas Tzedah. Now, what's the reason for all of these gezeiros about the siyud and the kiyur of the amma al amma in the house, or the kasa, the harsana at the meal, and the women with their Bas Tzedah? Shenemar, and all three, says Rishbam, says in the pasuk, Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini, Tidbak L'Sharon L'Chikim L'Eskarechi Imloy Al Es Yerushalayim Al Roish Simchasi. Pray tomorrow, what means my Al Roish Simchasi? How do you go and have the remembrance of Yerushalayim on top of your head? So this is what very well known. Rav Yitzchak Ze'ei from Maklis Shebaroish Chasanim. Typically the Chasanim, after the Bedekin, they go into a private room before they come out to the chuppah, and usually during that time they take some afer. You can go and take, let's say, from the years ago they used to use the ash from cigarettes. Most people don't smoke cigarettes anymore, so they go and just burn a little piece of paper or whatever to go and get a small amount of ash, and they put the ash on top of their heads. Now the question is, on what part of the head? Where did they put it? The Mokam Tefillin, Shenemar, Losum Laveli Tzion, Loseis Lehem, Pe'er Tachas Efer. Pe'er is referring to the Tefillin. Put it instead of the Efer of the Chasanim. So we see that the Efer and the Pe'er, that's on the same spot, the front of the head. V'chol Mesabel Yerushalayim Zoicha V'roi B'Simcha, so whoever the Mesabel will be Zoicha to the Simcha, Shenemar, and that's the Pasuk that we quoted before. That's the last pasuk here in the Omid. Simchu es Yerushalayim v'giluba kol ayahaveha. Go and rejoice in Jerusalem v'giluba and dance and sing and be joyous. Kol ayahaveha. Sisu ita matois kol nesam aleha. You know who's going to be participating in the simcha v'sasayim? Those that participated in the avelos. Tanya Mishmo ben Elisha. Miyom shechor beisum igdish dinu shenigzara latzmenish loy lechel basvali lishtes yayin. Like we said before, we should be like those prushim. You can't expect people en masse to avoid eating basar and to stop drinking wine. Malchus Rishah is usually referring to the Romans, the Edoim, that are still in control today, the Esavs. They make terrible gzeiros against us, that we cannot learn Torah, or be mekayim the mitzvahs. They don't allow us to gather for Shavua Ben. What means Shavua Ben? Says Rishbam, that means a bris mila. Why is that called a bris mila? Because you do the bris after Shavua, after a week of the child, from the child's birth, right? If a child is born on a Sunday, a week later, on the next Sunday, you do the bris mila. So that's why it's called Shavua Ben. Other Mefarshim say that it was customary years ago, just like we have today the concept and the practice of Sheva Brachas after a Chasana. In certain communities, they had like Sheva Brachas after a Bris. Not that they recited Sheva Brachas, but rather that for the next 7 days, people got together to rejoice about the new baby boy that was born, who had a circumcision a few days ago. For a whole week, they would celebrate. V'yamila Odis of Yeshua, Ben, the word Yeshua over here means like salvation or redemption, and it's referring specifically to the pidyon habachar. So the Romans with goyzer do not allow for any brisim, and certainly don't participate in a bris. And same thing for pinyin aben, don't make a pinyin, don't make a festive meal. So dinu shenigzer al atzmeinu shloilisa ish lahoilid banim, because of. So this is all one thought. We said miyoyim shaparshta malchus v'shar shigzeres lenu gzeres right. And they said no more brisim and no more pinyin abens. Dinu, it should be shenigzer al atzmeinu shloilisa ish lahoilid banim. We shouldn't get married, because if we get married and we have children, and good likelihood there'll be boys, guess what happens? Then we're not going to be able to perform the bris. And if we're going to do something like that, that's going to be terrible. So therefore we should be goyzer, don't get married, don't have children, and then you won't have to worry about not making a bris. There won't be any boys to make the bris. If you're going to do that, then there won't be another generation, because people don't get married, there won't be kids, and there won't be future generations, and you won't have to worry about making a circumcision. There won't be anybody to circumcise. This command on the surface is a little bit difficult, because after all, there's a mitzvah pru or vu. You can't go make a gzera, go, don't get married. The Torah is up to every person is supposed to get married. It's a mitzvah pru or vu. So how can you make such a gzera against what it says in the Torah? So the second choice is before the end says, we're talking that we should make a gzera on all those that already were makayim peribirivya. They already had a boy and a girl. We should say, that's it. Now you have to divorce your wives. Don't live there with them anymore. Because if you're going to go and have more boys, we're going to have a problem. You won't be able to go and do a bris. V'nim tzizah shel rom kofina kol mi'elev. Ella, says Yimuela, hanach lem li'Yisrael. Let them get married. If they won't be able to perform the bris, mutav shiyu shoygigin. It's against, really, it's not shoygigin, it's really anusim. They're not, you know, intentionally not doing the circumcision. They can't, because the Malchus Yeshua is not allowing it. For you Mezidin, if you're going to go and make a gzera that they're not allowed to get married, people are going to get married anyway. You cannot force people to remain celibate for the rest of their lives. I mean, there are people that are like that, but the vast majority of people want to get married to the other gender and to live a life together and have a family, etc. So we're much better off not being goyiz gzera, and rather if and when they have a baby boy and they unfortunately cannot have a bris, no, it's terrible, but they're shoygin, rather than going and making a zera, don't get married, and they're going to get married anyway, and they're going to have boys, and then they're not going to be able to go and perform the bris, and that would already be, of course, the performance of the bris is not going to be the mezid. The mezid is that they will be defying the chachamim if the chachamim made a zera not to get married and not to have children. They're going to get married and have children, because that's just human nature. So that's why they didn't make that gzera, but to shishogin by yemezidin, had lechesabatim, lechesabatim, lechesabatim. Rabbi says it's been a beautiful perek. On to Hamoichr Sabayis. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.